preach the word.
Amen.
I haven't been able to escape recently the responsibility of the believer. So the past few messages I've preached has been about the responsibility of those that are Christians, and that you are not excused from where God has you. God has you in a specific place, and He lives inside of you for a specific purpose. It's not to heat a seat or a pew. And what you need to understand is, as we're gathered together in worship here, we're here to fellowship and in the church, it's not your primary focus or goal that God has for you to sit in church. God's primary purpose for saving you was not to be in church. You showing up here is wonderful. You being here, it's necessary and it's biblical. And if you're truly pursuing Him, you will end up in church. And you will end up in fellowship. But that's not the reason, the primary reason that God saved your soul. The primary reason for Him saving you and plucking you out of the fire is for relationship. Is for intimacy, and that you might know Him in order to make Him known. God will lead you to a fellowship and a body of believers, but the reason that He called you is so you would be led by Him. The title of the sermon is Being Led to Lead. Being led to lead. You being led by Jesus Christ, whether in word or in teaching or by His voice, is imperative not only for you, but for the world around you. Your responsibility to the Word and to Jesus Christ is that you would be led by Him. And you need to understand that your responsibility is not just to be led for your own sake, but for those that watch and those that listen. If you're not being led by God, then the impact cannot be sufficient on those around you. So what I'm telling you is you have a responsibility. You have a specific call. And you might say, hey, I'm not in ministry. I didn't serve communion. I didn't bring the communion meditation. I didn't bring the offering. I was under playing piano. I don't have responsibility. Well, only if Jesus Christ lives inside of you, you have a responsibility to be led by Him. You alone have to be led by Him. You have to hear Him. You have to seek Him. You have to know Him. Not just for your own discipleship, for those that watch you, for those that listen, those that are counting on you to live like Him, because you may be the only Jesus Christ they ever see. Yes. Or they ever know. Look at Luke chapter 2, if you're there. Luke chapter 2. Then look at verse 48. Luke 2, 48. When they saw Him, they were amazed. And His mother said unto Him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father, we sought you, sorrowing. We're looking for Jesus. Where did He go? And He said to them, how is it that you sought me? Wist ye not that I'd be about my Father's business? And they understood not the saying which He spoke to them. Did you not understand that I'm led by somebody, and where He leads me, I'm going to go and I'm going to follow? You think about this example to His folks. I have to be led by Him. And who watched Him being led as a young man? His parents. They're watching Him being led by the Holy Spirit, Him being guided by God. God on earth. In John chapter 5, it says, they asked Him, what man is this that said to thee, take up thy bed and walk? And in verse 14, Jesus says, He finds him in the temple. He said, behold, thou art made whole, and sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon thee. The man departed and told the Jews what Jesus had done, which made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus in John chapter 5. And they sought to slay Him because He had done these things on the Sabbath day. And Jesus answered them and said, my Father works hereunto, and I work. And verse 19 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself but what He sees the Father do. For what things soever He doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. What I see my dad do, I follow Him. Even though I'm God on earth, if He leads me, I follow Him. Remember, the Holy Spirit says that He led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted. God on earth was led around, not because God on earth had to be led around, but as a testimony and a type that we have to be led. We have to be led by God also.
Yes.
Jesus Christ led himself. Do you think he went to the cross because by force that they led him? Oh, that guy's got a big club. I think I'll just go to the cross now. He led himself to the cross. The almighty hand of God led himself. God on earth walked to the cross as being led. This is the will of God. This is the will of God from the beginning of all creation. This is what the plan is. I'm being led in his will, and everybody watches. Everybody sees as he follows in God's will and God's plan. And it's the same for you and I. And this is the reason I bring it up. This is the reason we talk about it. Think about the times we live in. I've talked to a lot of people in the last few weeks. Hurricanes and earthquakes and floods and shootings and death and disaster and sin abounds, and it's like a tidal wave that can't be stopped. And guess what? It just keeps coming. Just keeps coming. So what's your call? What do you have to do in these times? You have to be led. You have to hear it. You have to hear it. It's your responsibility as a believer to be led, or you will never lead. Even if you're leading one person. It's God's desire that you hear him. It's God's desire that you be close to him. It's God's desire that you spend time in the Word, you spend time in prayer, because others are going to depend on how much you're led. And they will lack if you are not led. You think you're bereft of responsibility just because you're a Christian and you're not in quote leadership. If you're led, you're in leadership. You will lead those around you. Guess what will happen when persecution comes? When the flood of persecution comes, this church teaches about persecution. They want to prepare you. When persecution comes, who are people going to look to? They're going to look to the ones with the answers. And where are all the answers at? Guess who the leaders will be? The people with an answer. The people that stand there and say, well, Jesus said this was coming. And we were ready because he told me it was coming. So I was ready. So I was prepared and I prayed and I wrestled with it in my heart so we could have an answer. It says that men's hearts will fail them for fear. Fail them for fear. I don't care how much you can bench press, your heart fails you for fear. It don't matter much.
That's right?
Right?
Yes.
But who has the answer? It'll be those that are walking with him and those that can listen. And the reason I brought you to Luke chapter 2 and John and then in Luke when the Spirit leads him in the wilderness is we see the greatest example that God could ever be used as God himself. That's the greatest example, the greatest testimony, the greatest one that went before us. As we look to Jesus Christ in the flesh, fully God, fully man, Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit. God was led by the Father. Jesus was led by the Spirit. Jesus led himself to Golgotha. It was ordained for the plan of redemption. It was ordained. So we see God himself being led. And if God himself had to be led, how much more you and I?
Amen.
How much more you and I? I'd say quite a bit. Because I would say that Jesus' ministry on earth was moderately successful. Right? He had a marginal portion of victory when he came and shed his blood for everyone. There's a guy in my church, and he came to church one day, and he had the shirt, and you guys have seen it, where all the superheroes are on the shirt.
Yes.
And Jesus is sitting there, and he says, well, guys, that's how I save the world. And I thought that shirt was marvelous. I was like, that's awesome, you know, because Jesus is the one that saved the world. He's the one that prepared and paved the way with his very own blood.
Amen.
So when you walk in it, you can be free. So there's victory. So Jesus' plan, God's plan, the Trinity's plan, in fellowship from the beginning of all creation, before there was time and times of time, they sat in fellowship and they had a plan for all of humanity and how it was going to work and how there's going to be victory and how there's going to be truth. And so Jesus came and he redeemed mankind and he redeemed and he showed by being led by the will. In the scripture it says that the Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. It says God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. It says Jesus Christ therefore raised himself from the dead.
Yes.
The Trinity did it and God was led. And we see that testimony through the Gospels and through the New Testament how Jesus was led, dependent on what the Father was saying. Even though we know he's fully God, right? The God-man. Walking on earth, full flesh, but full God. But he said, I don't do anything unless I hear my Father speak it to me. Unless he leads me, I don't do it. So this is a challenge to you. It's a challenge to you, not just as a Christian, as attending church, but it's a challenge to you because we live in some perilous, tempestuous times that have never been seen before. I tell you right now, wickedness has never abounded and been so wicked as it is today. It's never been as in-your-face, blatant, going forward, push every envelope, run across the line in the sand as it is today. And it just keeps getting worse. And it will keep getting worse. You know, as the line of sin encroaches and the ugliness grows, you know what we're going to start to look like? More and more fanatical. Just by towing the line. If you don't move and you just stand for what the Word says, they're going to call you a fanatic more and more and more just because you don't move. Just because the line keeps getting pushed back on what's conservative or what's Christian or what's right or what's moral, and you choose to stand and be led by His voice and be led by His Spirit and be led by what the Word says. I can't go along with you identifying as something you weren't, because the Word says you're not a dog, you're not a girl. I can't move unless the Father in heaven speaks for me to move. The children of Israel couldn't move in the wilderness unless the cloud led them by day or the pillar of fire led them by night. Unless you move the standard, I can't move. I have to be led by what you say. If you don't say it, I can't be led by it. And it's the same for you and I. If Jesus Christ is in you, if He lives in you, you have to hear. If He lives inside of you, you have to be led. And the purpose of the message and the purpose of the Word is not for you to be led just for yourself. It's not about you, just you. I'm going to go in my closet and I'm going to shut the door. I'm going to put on Kumbaya and the Gregorian chants, and it's just going to be me and the Lord. That is not why God saved you, so it could just be you and Him. It's powerful that it's you and Him, and it's powerful it's a relationship, and it's a love relationship. And I know Him more than I know my wife, and I've known Him longer than I know my wife, and I know Him in a way I'll never know my wife. But I don't know Him just for me. It's so that others can see and hear. What did the disciples say? They said, we cannot speak but what we have seen and heard. So that others can see and hear. You being led so that you can lead. Do you not see and hear? Do you not read that the leading of Jesus showed us the path and the plan for being a leader? The best leaders you will ever find in this world are what? Led. The best leaders you'll ever find are people that are led by someone else, or that were patterned after somebody else, or have a mentor, that they're looking to someone else as they lead. You'll never find a leader that just pops up like a mushroom out of the ground and says, everybody flock to me, I have the answer. They will be a lousy leader, horrible leader, because there's no example, there's no truth. Sheep will follow a shepherd, but that shepherd better be following the great shepherd. Amen. Do you see that it did not make him a follower just to follow, but Jesus Christ is showing us the only way. Just like when He speaks, He's showing us the only way. Just when He speaks, He knows the truth, but He speaks it to us so we might hear and understand. How many times the disciples come to us and say, what in the world? Explain to us this parable. What are you talking about? And Jesus takes them and explains, well, you see, the seed is the Word of God. And if it goes deep, and if it's planted, it grows. He explains to them. He leads them. He's constantly leading them. There's this massive dispensation in the world that if you're a Christian, you can just be static. You just go to church and you can just listen, and it's just this static thing where you just move. You don't move. You just stay still. But if you're led, what does it mean? It means you're moving. You're going somewhere. You're being led. Not backwards, but forwards. So led is, there's movement. There's momentum. There's a direction. Being led so that you can lead. It discounts the fact that God has called you. If you say that I just have to sit still and just receive and just live a moral life and do my job and then pay my taxes, it discounts what God has done in your life and the fact that He's called you not just to hear for yourself, but to hear for others. That you have to hear because your influence depends on who you're being led by.
Yes.
How many people influence everyone around them because they're being led by somebody that's speaking lies?
Yes.
How many times have you come and talked to this? I'm going to pick on them. Where are the young ones? The young generation that's being talked to by the media and by their teachers or by their peers, and you come and talk to them, and all there is this tidal wave of gobbledygook coming out of their mouth, and you're like, where's the truth? Where's the standards? It's just how you feel or what you think, or depends on what side of the bed you got out of this morning, what your truth is.
Yes.
If you're not being led by truth, if you're not being led, and you understand something about Jesus Christ, He doesn't prod or whip, does He? He doesn't push, prod, and whip. He leads you. Come this way. Ooh, don't sit there. Come on. Come this way. Follow me. You hear me? Listen. My sheep hear my voice. My sheep know my voice. Come this way. You'll see lousy leaders. They'll have their whip and they'll be driving them. Whoopsh! Do what I say and do it now and go this way. And oh, you messed up. Wham! Lousy leaders. But the best ones are the ones that are led. Because you're called to be a leader where the gospel is not. If you're in a place where the gospel is not, it's in you. You bring the gospel where the gospel is not. If you're standing in a place where it's not, remember it's in you. Your example and your actions will speak louder than any words. You can sit there and you can talk about the Word and you can quote Scripture. I've known lots of people that did that and lived like the devil. But if you live it out, if you truly love your neighbor, if you lay down your life, I've moved a lot of people in this church with my truck. You lay down your life for others. That you love them. That you just love them. And guess what I told the church to pray? I said, I moved a lot of people. It's your turn. You know? So after Sunday service, I said, load up. We're going to my house. Get an assembly line going. Get all the junk in my home. It's laying down your life for others. It's the simple. And you know what? It can be as simple as just not talking and listening to somebody that needs you to listen to. It can be as difficult as you protecting someone with your life. That's the spectrum of laying your life down for somebody else. It can be very simple. Or it can be dying for somebody and giving your life so they might live. Now God, He hasn't allowed me to escape this theme. And every time I come to the Word, it's tell them. Tell them they have a role. Tell them they have a responsibility. Tell them they're going to be used in the last days. Tell them I have to have a people that are willing to be used and be led. I have to have those that are willing to not be led around by the nose, by the spirit of the age, but are ready to listen to the Spirit of the Word.
Amen.
That they'll stand for what's true and they'll speak what's true. Even if they seem like they're an island unto themselves. And they don't realize all the eyes that are on them, watching and listening and waiting. Because that's the true call, is to be led by Him. Especially in these times. Jesus said there will be signs in the sun, there will be signs in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth there will be great distresses in the nations with perplexity. And the sea and the waves will be roaring, and men's hearts will fail them for fear. And for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken, but your heart shouldn't fail you for fear. Your heart should be transfixed on truth. What does the truth say? You understand the battle is always against the truth and the lie, right?
Yes.
It's always what is the truth. A lie will come, but the truth has to come back to lie. Unbelief, fear, is the opposite of truth. And believing truth and standing on the truth. And the truth is you're called to be led. Even more so in that day, you're called and you'll be perceived as a leader when you are led by the one that holds all your days in His hand. Led by Him. Now it should challenge you. If you're not being led, I want it to challenge you. You have to be. There's not an option. There's not a first degree and a second degree black belt Christian where I just choose to be, I choose to go all the way and somebody else chooses to sit in the back row and I just don't want to go that far. I just don't want to be that surrendered. I might not get to watch that show if I lay down my life. If I'm so surrendered that God can lead me, He may lead me in places I'm just not ready to go. I just don't want to be there. You don't have that option.
Amen.
That's not up to you.
Amen.
At all. If you call yourself a Christian, that means you took up your cross, you put your hand to the plow, and you go forward. And if He leads you there, that's where you go. If He leads you to say something, that's what you say. If He leads you to leave somewhere, that's where you leave. Because we have a messed up definition of what it is to be a Christian. That's a hard phrase these days. And I've changed my phraseology. When I talk to people, I don't ask them, are you a Christian anymore? I say, are you born again? Are you washed in the blood? Are you surrendered to His Lordship in your life? When you ask somebody if they're born again and surrendered, it's a big difference than asking something, are you a Christian? Because America has its own version of Christianity.
Right.
And it's sloppy. Now, even more so on that great day when you stand before Him, someday we'll all stand before Him.
Yes.
You'll stand before Him and what will He say? Hopefully, what will He say to you? He will say, well done, good and faithful, stud. Well done, good and faithful, beauty queen. Well done, good and faithful, servant.
That's right.
What is a servant? They're one that's led. A servant does what the master says. Goes where the master tells him to go. Follows the master around obediently. What do you want me to do now? Where do you want me to go? What do you need me to do? What do you command me to do? What do I have to do now? It's up to you. I look to you. I'm the servant. You're the master. What is it now? Led. A servant is one that's led. Well done, good and faithful. Person that was led by my voice and my word every day of their life and didn't deny it, but stood on it in truth and knew it was the rock foundation and it led you all the way home. Enter in. That's what a servant will be. And you will be perceived as a leader. You're not led by your own pursuits. Oh, we get led by our own pursuits. Even things that we think are good. I heard a preacher one time, one that I respect. He said that he was preaching from his pulpit and he got the itch to go on crusades and do evangelism and go to other places and people got saved and he preached and he traveled and went all around and when he got back to his church, he said, God, wasn't that awesome? And the Holy Spirit says, sure, if you want, but it's all going to burn because I never called you to it. I never asked you to do that. That was all your flesh. I hope you had a good time. Now it's time for you to get back in the pulpit and love these people and be in this church like I told you to. And I know this man. It's not somebody who's just flippant and saying that to romanticize and make an effect. He really meant it. And he really knows that all of his will going around and doing something for God was never what God asked him to do. That's why it's important that you be led. That's why it's imperative that you be led. Led for your children. Led for your spouse. Led for your acquaintances. Led for your friends. Led for your father and mother. Led for distant relations. Led for co-workers. Led for those that will just meet you once or twice. Led that will hear you. People that will see you and you'll never see them. People that will hear you and you'll never meet them. That's why it's important that you're led. You don't know the influence your life will have on others. You will never know until you get there. You'll never know. But if you're led, the impact can be great. It not only depends on who you impact and what happens when you get there, but who you're led by depends upon your eternity. You will spend eternity based upon who you were led by here. If you were led around by the nose of your flesh, and somebody whispered in your ear, If you were led around by a liar and a deceiver that was hungry for your soul, and he whispered in your ear, it's okay, you can have free will. It's okay, you can do what you want. Just live a moral life. You don't have to surrender. You don't have to be burdened by the dictates of the opinions of the word. Just meander through life and do what feels good. You will be led right where you deserve. Right where you've earned. That's where you'll be led. Don't ever, 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 ever think that Christianity, biblical Christianity, is easy. Don't be deceived. It's not easy. C.S. Lewis said it's like nails. Christianity is like nails. It's hard. It's difficult. But you know what? It's worth it. There's grace. There's joy to be led by one that loves you and one that cares. Do you understand that Jesus has never planned anything less than your highest joy? That He will lead you exactly where you can be most used and most impactful. Most powerful. That's where He'll lead you. Whether it's the island of Patmos or whether it's preaching to thousands of people, wherever you can be used the most, God will lead you there if you're willing to be led. Do you understand that goats don't want to be led? Goats are led by other goats. Do you understand that? That when you watch goats, they won't watch the shepherd. They'll follow the lead goat. And that sheep will follow the shepherd. I've told you this story before. I raised a lamb. He knew my voice. All I had to do is say his name. And he was, nah, nah, nah. And he's screaming for food. All I had to do is say his name. And he knew I was coming. Sheep hear and they know. Goats will just, goats are shrewd, deceiving, ugly, eat everything, get into everything, jump over fence creatures. They are. They're conniving. But sheep are dumb. Sheep are dumb. Sheep follow. Sheep listen. Sheep have to be led and guided and cared for, and they have to be inoculated against medicine, they have to be shaved, they have to be taken care of. They have mercy. Patience. I heard a pastor preaching recently. He said, isn't it amazing that God said, you are my sheep, not you are my dolphins. You are my chimpanzees. I was like, that's powerful. Sheep are dumber than a box of rocks. So it's powerful. God is telling us something. He's conveying something to you. That you have to listen. You have to be led. You have to know His voice. Because if you think you're a chimpanzee or a dolphin, you'll think you know, oh God, I got this one. I already know what you're going to say. It's okay, it's okay, it's okay. Don't say it. I can do it myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, you have to be led. Not only your eternity depends on who you're led by, but instead of being led by that voice of your flesh, you could be led by a loving King of Kings that have nothing less than your highest joy and spiritual potential. And He'll lead you in triumph. He'll lead you in truth, and He'll do things that only He could do through you. And you'll see miracles, and you'll see things fall off you and fall off others just because you're being led by truth. And then in Galatians it says, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Walk. Be led. Move. The flesh just lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These things are contrary to one another, so they cannot do the things that you would. Now, just turn to Galatians 5 real quick. I want you to see this. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. And I had never seen this before when I was reading it. You probably have, because you're way smarter than me, but I've never seen it. I thought it was powerful. In Galatians 5, verse 16, he says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and do not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Now look at that last part. You cannot do. You cannot do it. You can't do it. Did you hear what I said? You can't do it. No matter how many times you try to buffet your body and buffet your flesh, I'll have victory. I can do this. I can walk through this. I can be led. I can be spiritual. You cannot do what you want to do. It's like he's writing Romans chapter 7 again. Your flesh wants to do this, but you don't do it. You desire to be this, but you can't be it. But the last verse said, if you be led of the Spirit, if you be led, you're not under the law. If you be led, there's freedom. If you be led, you walk in right paths. If you be led by the Spirit, that's where the power and the victory is at. It's not in what you can do. It's not by looking inward in the flesh. I used to think I was strong. I did. I used to think I had self-control. I don't. God has to take you through all these times of failure and failing and falling and messing up to show you, you can't do it, you're not strong enough. That's how I designed it. I designed it so you can't do it without me. Keep trying. Keep running on your carousel or your hamster on a wheel. Or those neat little dome ones that the little mice run around. It goes around and around the corner my daughter wants. Those are neat. But you just go around and around and around, around on it. Go ahead. You can't do it. He says you can't do it. But what Jesus says, you have to be led. You have to follow. It's about being leading. It's about walking. It's about progressing. It's about moving. It's about momentum. It's about being led by Him. Have I beat the dead horse enough? It's about being led by Him. Now turn to Acts chapter 8. You have to be led for others. It's important for you to be led for you, but you're only one, and you can impact many if you're led. Many. Acts chapter 8, read about Philip, go to verse 26. Now I'm going to read really fast. This story is great. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. The angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south, under the way that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is the desert. And he rose and he went. Behold, a man from Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit said to Philip, go near and join thyself into his chariot. And Philip ran hither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that would come up and sit with him. And the place where the scripture read was this, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like the lamb dumb before his shearers, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh this prophet? Of himself or some other man? So Philip opened up his mouth and began at the same scripture to preach unto him Jesus. And they went on their way, and they came to certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water. What hinders me to be baptized? And he said, you believe in your heart, you can. And he answered, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, and Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. Listen to this story. There's Philip. The Lord leads him to go to the south, which is a desert. And he arose and hold a man. The eunuch just happens to be there because God led him. And what does the eunuch turn to him and say? I need a man to lead me into truth. Well, I was brought here for that very purpose. I will lead you in the truth that God has shown me. And it gets even better. He starts reading in Isaiah 53. And they start reading about Jesus Christ being led. Jesus Christ being led by the Spirit of God and by the will of God and by Himself. And then Philip is led again away. Now, it's just a simple story. But it's not a story. It really happened. This man was led by the Spirit of God to lead someone else, to tell them how Jesus Christ was led, and then led away again to go be impactful somewhere else. I don't need to hypothesize or guess or give you extra scriptural knowledge, but what if he wasn't led? What if he wasn't a place to hear? What if he got up on the wrong side of the bed and decided, I'm not going to be led today. I've worked hard. His impact, Who knows the impact that this, you might think, not think it's great, but I think it's great enough for all of you. So I love the story that he's led to lead somebody else to tell them about Jesus being led in the Spirit. And who knows, this man with authority in a place of power goes back and leads others into truth. That's a simple example of what God can do in you and I, if you're willing. If you're willing. You can pray every day, God, I'm willing, if you're willing to make me willing. You can pray it every day. I'm willing to go where you want me to go, but you need to give me that heart, that willingness to be what you want me to be, to go where you want me to go, to speak what you want me to speak. Because people's eternity weighs in the balance at times, whether I'm willing to be led. I told my wife about a story I'd never told before. It was something that I was thinking about as I prepared this. This is a true story. I was in high school and I had a friend and he got saved. And we were Christians together. And I talked to him about the Lord and he talked about the Lord. And he wasn't a Christian when I first met him. But he got saved by the influence of another. That was another friend. And so we would go, we'd talk about the Lord and we'd pray. And then that relationship kind of dissolved, and I went off to Bible school, and I didn't see him. Well, I came back from a summer from Bible school one time, and I saw him in a grocery store. And I ran up to him, and I said, hey, man, how's it going? And he looks at me, like, and he said to me, who are you? I said, dude, it's me, man. He goes, how's it going to church? And he goes, man, listen. He goes, I got hit by a car. I went into a coma for months. I had total amnesia. I'm not a Christian. I don't know who you are. And my life is totally different now, but I'm sorry. And I researched it. He was telling the truth. And I started thinking about the influence we have on people's lives and how you don't know who you influence and how you influence and where you influence. I started thinking about the car wreck. What if he died? What is God going to do in his life? What about the influence that that one had? And all these other factors and how important it is for us to speak the truth under any circumstances. Yes. You don't have to be nasty about the truth, but the truth is still the truth.
Yes. That's right.
You don't have to be a conflict, but you better be a contrast.
Yes.
Philip was led to a place to instruct. And he was seen as the leader right there. Now listen to me. Listen to me very closely. If you are not following, you are floundering. To flounder means to struggle, to stagger helplessly in water, mud, and struggle mentally or feel confusion. If you're not following, you're floundering. If you are not being led, then you're a piece of lead. It's a heavy metal that's denser than most common metals, and lead is soft and it's powerful. And it melts under much lower heat than any other metal. And it can't move. It's so heavy, it's stagnant. If you are not pursuing, then you are plundering from others. Plunder means to steal the goods from other people, typically using force, in a time of civil war or disobedience and unrest. If you are not pursuing him, then you're plundering what God wants to do in other people's lives. Through you. You should feel the weight of the responsibility upon you if you haven't. It's not supposed to be something really light. If you're not listening, then you're loitering. To loiter means to wait and stand around idly without a purpose. You have a purpose. You call yourself by Christ's name, then you have a duty to follow him and to listen and be led by him. Why is it important? Because look around you. Read the news. Turn it on and watch. Watch what's happening in the country that decided to put God's name on their money and follow him and base it on this principle. You know what? We will be judged with such a great judgment because we had the truth. You knew the light. You had the truth. How much more us? Who knows? Who read? Who come together? And you just want to act like you're one of the guys or one of the girls. I fall prey to that all the time. But you have a purpose. You have a goal. You listen. You say to me, God can't use me, or God hasn't used me, or I don't speak well. I'm like Moses. I don't speak well, or I have all these excuses. You can't use me, or I'm isolated, or I'm not good around people, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. The weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brothers and people in Faith Harvest Church, how not many wise men and women after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God has chosen the weak ones in this world to confound the things that are mighty. The base things of the world and the things that are despised, God has chosen you. Things that are not, to bring to pass things that are. That no flesh should glory in His presence. But if you are in Jesus Christ, who of God has made all wisdom, all righteousness, I could go on all day, all sanctification, redemption, all truth, all light, all answers in the face of Jesus Christ. If you are one of those wise, foolish, weak people that's not ready, feels like you can, God says that you can. You are called, and your calling is to be led by Him. Do you hear what I said? You say, I don't know what my calling is. I'll tell you, I know what it is. Your call is to be led by Him. To listen to Him. If you run from your calling, you're refusing to be led. To be led where He wants you to go. To speak what He wants you to speak. How? You pray. You read. You spend time alone with Him. You shut out all the white noise of life. You go to your secret place and you listen to hear His voice, to be led. It doesn't matter if His voice is a still small voice. It doesn't matter if you're reading the Word and you're led by what the Word says. This won't fail you. This won't lead you astray. Others that you trust that rightly divide this speak into your life. You can be led by this. The good shepherd. He's the good shepherd. My sheep know my voice, and I am known by them. You know, we have a saying, a friend of mine in Colorado, we always say you have to know Him to make Him known. You have to know Him to make Him known. And you have to be led to lead. You won't even realize you're a leader. You won't even realize people see you as a leader until later in your life. But if you're led by Him, they'll respect you. They'll listen to what you say. People you thought didn't give a hoot about what you thought, what you believe, will call you up out of the blue. What do you think about this? What should I do? You'll see. Because they see somebody who's led. Not led around by the nose, by the flesh, but led by the living Word of God, the Spirit of God. And it's a challenge to you, not only in this church, it's a challenge to all of us that if God is not leading you, if you're half-hearted following, then you need to repent. Because God has a specific purpose for you. And you may think it's just extra family. It's not. It's in your family. It's in those that you touch closest. It's in your children. It's in your family. They all watch you too. They all listen to what you say too. They all need the light of Christ in you too. It doesn't matter how big or how old or how much knowledge or where you've gone or where you've been. If you're not led by Him, you're missing your calling, especially the calling in the time that we live in right now. You know, life is here, and then it's gone. You stand there, and a bullet comes from nowhere, and you stand before Him, and He looks at you and says, what have you done with my son? What did you do with my son? There's always grace, though. There's grace, and this is what I talk about, and this is what I tell people. You are only a breath away from forgiveness, repentance, and just getting right with God. The altar call is always a wonderful thing, but it should be settled in your heart long before you ever get up and get the altar call. And God takes it. God, forgive me. Okay. Let's go on. Let's move forward.
God, I repent.
All right. I can work with that broken and contrite heart.
It's not I have to walk on my knees around Augusta Lakes 13 times to earn something, to earn my penance with you, Lord.
If that's you today, if you're not being led like you know you should be, if you've gone slack, if you're so busy in what you want to do, or even what you think God wants you to do, and you haven't heard from Him, we'll pray for you today. Pastors will pray for you today. I'll pray for you today. Let God deal with you. Because the time is too short to play games now. There used to be a time where maybe it wasn't as purposeful. That's not really a true statement, but we see what's coming. We see that it's accelerating. So we should too. Does that make sense? If the wickedness abounds, so should your faith in you being led. Because we've seen it go like this, and now it's going like this. And things are changing very rapidly. I think we have another 3 to 7 years. That's my opinion. I think in the next 3 to 7 years, everything's going to change. And we'll find out who's being led and who's not. Because you can't stand if you're not being led. You won't be able to stand in what's coming. No matter how tough or strong you think you are. I invite you to come forward for prayer if you need it this morning. And we'll just wait on God.